Good morning, happy Sunday. This is Mommy Talks with Nina, and I'm your host, Nina. Welcome to episode 7. Thank you all for listening to episode 6. I had a special guest, Amber Dortch, and we were talking about the misconceptions and myths and realities of motherhood. If you really, really enjoyed that and listening to Amber, she has her own podcast called Inner Rambles, and you can find it on SoundCloud. And her episode, where I'm a special guest, is live, up and running, and you can go listen to that on SoundCloud, Inner Rambles, where we're talking about how we were both pregnant and we were not married, and how that was for us, some criticisms or things that were said to us, and we kind of give our tips for women who also may be pregnant right now and not married. Okay, so I'm ready to dive into this episode, episode 7. This episode is going to be about my story, my labor and delivery story postpartum. So let's get started. I worked up till the end of my pregnancy. I had a really good pregnancy, so I didn't have to leave work early to go on any leave, and I felt pretty good. So I actually worked up until pretty much the very end. I started my maternity leave from my job mid-February. So I had a nice week and some days off before my son arrived. So that was nice to be home and to sleep in and relax and get some things done. So I did enjoy that. It was nice because I just had like a little break and downtime. The week I was off, I just got a chance to watch shows. I've been watching different shows on Hulu. And I was trying to figure out some of the things that I wanted to do or get done that I knew once Kojo, my son, came, I knew that I wouldn't be able to do. So I went to the movies with my mom. We went out and had brunch at this diner called Top's Diner, where I had never been before, so that was fun. And I also got my nails done. I remember it was a Sunday. It was March 3rd. That day, my sister and I and my mom, we had planned to go to brunch at a restaurant in town where we live called Raymond's. And we had kept hearing for a couple of days that night we were gonna get a really bad snowstorm. They were talking about a lot of snow and wind, and it was gonna be cold. So that day it was cold. My mom and sister picked me up, and we went to brunch, and we had to wait for about a half hour, 40 minutes to be seated, because this restaurant is just very popular. So on the weekends, you kind of know you're gonna have to wait. So while we were waiting, we walked around and went into Anthropology and a couple of other stores. So I was moving and walking. And I know while I was home, I kept wondering, like, when is the baby gonna come? What day? I just was wondering and had all that in my head. And I know I made sure all my family and everybody was on call. I said, I want you guys to be on call, even at night when you're sleeping, have your phones up just in case anything. So we had brunch that day. It was yummy. It was delicious, as always. And I think we hung out a little while after brunch. And then I went back home and I just kind of carried on with the rest of my day. And I remember making dinner, a yummy shrimp pasta meal. I ate dinner. I was feeling fine. Like I didn't have any cramping during the day. I felt well. I felt like I had felt any other day. So I ate my dinner. After I ate my dinner, my significant other and I, we decided to watch How to Get Away with Murder. So we're in our bedroom. We're on our bed. We're watching How to Get Away with Murder. I don't think we had been watching it for that long. And I went to go use the bathroom. And I wiped myself and I'm like, oh, there's blood. And I remember my doctor saying to me, if your water breaks, if you see any blood or anything, if you're getting a headache, call me. So I went to Kwame and I said, I'm bleeding. I need to call my doctor. And he said, oh, well, maybe everything's okay. Are you sure? And I was like, no, I need to call my doctor. She said, water breaking, headache, blood, give her a call. So I called my doctor, and you don't get your get through to your doctor. It's kind of like a operation kind of number. And I did speak to someone who was going to page my doctor, and I was told to go right to the hospital, to the emergency room. So I got ready. I kind of just kept what I had on, some sweatpants and a long sleeve shirt, and I put my boots on and I made sure I called my mom. And luckily my family lives 5 minutes or so away, so my mom came over here and we made sure we had our bags and everything. And once my mom got here, we went to the hospital, which was only about 10 minutes from my house. And when we were leaving, it was starting to snow. It wasn't heavy, but it was starting to come down. I would say, was around 6 something that night. So we got to the hospital, the emergency room. We checked in. We didn't really have to wait that long, and it wasn't really that crowded. And then once I got to a room, they had sent me to a room. They kind of hooked me up to the equipment so they could monitor me and my contractions and dilation and blood pressure and all of that. So I must have been in the room, I would say, maybe a little over an hour. Nurses would come back in and forth and kind of check on me, see how I was doing. And they told me at a certain point that I was only 3 centimeters dilated. So the nurses said, like, usually when you're 3 centimeters, they kind of send the women home because they want them to be at least 5 centimeters for them to be admitted. But they said because of the snow and the weather, they didn't want to send me home for me to just have to come right back that night or early in the morning. So I was admitted. So once I was admitted, I was moved to the labor room where I had gotten into my hospital gown, and I was hooked up to new monitors to be checked. So we all went to the labor room and got all of that done. And I remember one of the nurses had asked me, oh, when was the last time you ate? So I was able to tell her, oh, I ate at 6 something. So she said, oh, that was good, because now you can't eat anymore. You can't eat anything until after you have the baby. All I was allowed to have was ice chips, ice water. So I remember I started to feel some pain, which I knew it was the beginning of the contraction. So this might have been like 9 something at night. They started to get stronger and stronger and beginning to be a little more frequent. And I had never, ever felt any pain like this before. And I didn't know like how I would be able to handle the pain. Would I be able to tolerate it? Because not experiencing pain like this before, you just never know. And going into this, I didn't know whether or not I wanted to have any pain medicine, but I knew I wanted to try to deal with the pain as long as I could. So on the monitor, I could see when my contractions were coming, and I would hold on to Kwame's hand and it was just a lot. But the nurses and everyone was just so great. So my mom was there for support, and she wasn't really feeling that well that night. She was feeling like a cold was coming on, but she stayed and she was super, super supportive. Hours had gone by and my doc wasn't there. I didn't see her. Nurses had told me that they called her and that she couldn't get out of her driveway. She lived about 30 minutes away. So they said they were just gonna keep her updated and on speed with everything that was going on. But she was keeping contact with the nurses, which was really good. I wanted to wait as long as I could, like I said, to receive the pain medicine, which is what I did. And I didn't know whether or not I wanted to get the epidural. So for anyone who doesn't know or needs a refresher, an epidural is an injection and it provides temporary or lasting relief from pain or inflammation in the spine or your arms or legs. So a needle is placed in the right location for maximum benefit. So a doctor instructs it, and I know at a certain point, I finally wanted to get the epidural because the pain was just so intense, and I did get it the next day, the next morning. And I know when I was getting the epidural, I was still having contractions, and as they're doing it for you, the epidural injection, you have to be sitting up straight, and you have to not be moving. You have to be very still. So that was hard. You can imagine getting sharp contraction pains and having to be still while a needle is going in your spine. So I know I did, after my epidural, I was able to kind of get some rest and close my eyes, and I felt a little better. And come morning time, my doctor was still not there. And she was stuck in the driveway and was trying to figure out how she could get out to come to the hospital. So by then, I was pretty much ready to deliver my baby. It was morning time, early morning time, and I had dilated almost all the way, almost to 10 centimeters, and my son was ready to come out. But I was told that, and I was told that another doc was there who could deliver my son, but I just felt like I wanted my doctor to deliver him. I had been seeing her pretty much throughout my entire pregnancy, so I felt like it would only be right if she delivered my son. And before my doctor ended up coming that morning, we had a little scare in the hospital. So they had been monitoring my blood pressure, my heart rate, my son's blood pressure, heart rate, movement, everything. And there was a point in which they weren't hearing my baby's heart rate, like they weren't detecting it. So that was just very scary and nervous. I had like a nurse run in, and she was moving me all around the bed trying to check me out, and my mom and Kwame kept like very calm for me, or else I would have just been a nervous wreck. But then they finally found his heartbeat after minutes, so that was good. After that, my doctor finally arrived to the hospital about 8 a.m. the next day. So this is March 4th, 2019. And my son was born at around 8:34 in the morning. So it wasn't very long after. So I remember when he was born and when I saw him for the first time and I was able to hold him, it was just such this wonderful feeling to finally see him and to be able to put him on my chest. And I was so happy, and I had waited all these months to see him, so I was just so happy. I'd always wondered and pictured like what he would look like, and it was just amazing. So right away I tried getting him to latch on my breast, because I knew I had wanted to breastfeed. I wanted to try it, and he actually latched on right away without a problem. So we decided that we would name our son Kojo. Kwame is Ghanaian, and his name Kwame means that he was born on a Saturday. So we knew with our son, we wanted to keep with the same tradition. So we named our son Kojo because he was born on a Monday. And I was just so happy, and it was just like a lot of relief to know that Kojo was in this world and he made it. So after all of that, they weighed Kojo, they cleaned him off a little, they put a diaper on him, and my mom and Kwame both got a chance to hold him. And then I know he was taken out of the room for a little while, and Kwame had gone with him. So then it was my turn to kind of get cleaned up and healed up. And I did tear, so I had a couple of stitches. Another nurse had came in and helped me clean up, and I had went to the bathroom. So now postpartum life was beginning. And then after you deliver your baby, they send you to the postpartum room after the labor room. So I had gotten moved after I was cleaned up and everything to the postpartum room, where I kind of got settled into there, and now I could finally have lunch to eat and something other than kind of like water to drink if I wanted to. And I was feeling like fine for the most part, and the nurses were great and helped me, and I had my diaper on and mesh underwear, so I was feeling okay. I wasn't feeling too bad. So we were in the postpartum room from Monday to Wednesday. I had checked out Wednesday late afternoon. The accommodations weren't really bad at all at the hospital, and we decided to keep our baby with us. You have kind of the option of whether you want to keep your baby with you all the time, unless you, other than like when they might have to get like certain shots or get certain tests and stuff, or you can have your baby not in the room with you but in another room. And so that's what we did. And because I wanted to breastfeed, the same day a lactation specialist came and helped me out really tremendously. She helped me with the latching on for my baby, and I was still trying to figure everything out with that. But one thing I would say about this particular hospital that I was at, and I heard it's kind of the same for most hospitals, the nurses, like the labor and delivery nurses, don't really tell you much, like as regards to breastfeeding. They don't tell you that you don't really produce milk until 3 to 4 days after giving births, and that our bodies in the beginning is producing colostrum until the milk comes, and that your baby's stomach is so small in the beginning, like the size of a cherry when they're born. And I know for me, like, I felt kind of like, oh wow, my milk hasn't come in, when is it gonna come in? And the lactation specialist did say like, oh well, your milk probably won't come in to like maybe 3 or 4 days. So she did tell me, but she said, and the nurses even said, keep putting them on your breast, keep having him latch, keep letting him do that, because then he will see that and he will start to kind of understand what he's doing and get used to it. So that was helpful. And so because of that, he was getting formula in the hospital, he was getting Similac, and he was drinking it, or we were trying to get him to drink it for the most part, but he's a newborn, you know, he's learning too as he's going. The nurses were great. They checked on me all the time, around the clock, making sure that I was feeling good. I did end up getting Motrin at a certain point because I was just in pain. So they don't let you leave. Like, while you're in the postpartum room, the nurses are monitoring you and they're monitoring the baby. So you can't leave the hospital till you've been cleared to go home. And the baby can't leave as well. Like, your baby has to pee and poop before you leave, before you go home. So I know we were nervous, both Kwame and I, about the pooping and the peeing, because he hadn't pooped or peed yet. So with the help of the lactation specialist, that Tuesday he did poop and pee, so that was really, really, really good. So I was still recovering. I was trying to rest. I wasn't really that hands-on with Kojo as I probably would have wanted to be, but I was so exhausted and healing, and I know Kwame did the bulk of the feeding, and he did all of pretty much the changing of the diapers. Like, I maybe had changed one or two diapers while we were there those couple of days, and I was really focused on the breastfeeding and wanted to figure that out. And there's so many different ways in which you can hold the baby and the positioning. So for me, like, that was like my focus, breastfeeding and kind of staying well and getting better. Before I left the hospital, I would say, like, I got a ton of information, like packets of information, numbers to call in case of an emergency, because postpartum and depression when you get home is just so real. And I felt like I did have a support system with the nurses at the hospital. So we left the hospital that Wednesday in the afternoon. So it was time for home with baby to begin, which we were really excited about and we were really looking forward to. So, I mean, there you go. That is my labor, delivery, beginning of postpartum story. So it was great. It was wonderful. I hope you all learned a lot. Episode 8 will be up next week, and it's titled Life with My New Baby and Breastfeeding. Love you all for listening. Bye.